never forgive. I'm way past that age now, and it's just as clear to me today as when it happens. And when he touched me, it changed my life. And if you haven't had your life changed, then you need to go to God in prayer.
Amen.
And beg him for that change of voice.
Appreciate this testimony. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Appreciate this. Someone else this morning. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Amen. Amen. If we ever get to the point in our services where we can't feel the Lord or feel the presence of the Lord, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We've got to have the Lord. Just, there's no other way. Got to have the Lord to direct us. Something on someone else's heart this morning. Amen. 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 There's something special about it, ain't it? That place. We talk about a time and a place where the Lord saved your soul. It's that place where you met the Lord personally. When He imputed that righteousness into your heart and allowed you to know and understand that you were a child of God. That's a special place. I'm thankful that I have a place that I met the Lord And he let me know that one day heaven's going to be my home. And it works that way for everybody. Everybody needs that place. They need that time and that place in their life where they have turned everything over to the Lord and He has saved their soul. That is the way of salvation. The only way of salvation. I'm thankful this morning for that experience that lets you know that you are a child of God. If the Lord never told you, then how would you know? That's my thing, you know. If the Lord never tells you, never shows you, never lets you know, how do you know that you are a child of God? You don't. And that's the reason it's so special, that time and that place when the Lord saves you, that you can always go back there. You can always go back there. It's a special place. Something on someone else's heart this morning. Amen. Amen. Someone else this morning. If not, we'll have our reading this morning and our thoughts. But I'm thankful this morning for the Lord being with us.
It just crossed my mind. I need to correct something that I said in Sunday school this morning. I was talking about God made us have choices in our life, and we can choose to serve Him, or we can choose not to serve Him. And I may have left an impression we can choose any part of our life that we want to. Well, one thing that I was wrong on, I cannot choose this morning to give up my salvation. He sealed that in a book somewhere many years ago. And there's nothing in this world that can take it away from me. Not even my own desires this morning. If I cannot choose this morning not to be saved, I can't do that.
Amen.
It's an impossibility. Because I don't have it.
That's right.
He's got it up there in a book somewhere. And when He opens it up, they remind me of Him. And there's nothing that can take that away. And I thank God for that. I thank God that there's nothing can take it away, because I certainly would have misplaced it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
If I had been in my own free will, somewhere along the line, I'd have lost it. Mine had an end. Who believed that you could lose your salvation. But I never knew a time or place where she ever lost it.
Mm-hmm.
She never admitted to it. Well, I don't believe that to begin with, but thank God that it can never be taken away from me. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I got, I still got it. And one of these days when I die, I'll still have it. And that's something good to know. It just makes this world a whole lot better place to live in.
Amen.
To know that God has saved your soul. And we need to get centered on our hearts.
Amen.
I need to get centered on mine. I need to have a greater desire, and I pray God today to give me a greater desire for the lost. We got a every meeting coming up, and I say every meeting because we don't know if it's going to be a revival yet or not, but we're going to give it a shot. Well, we need to get on our knees, or we need to bend on our knees, praying to God that He would be with us each and every night, and the lost would come in here. They would hear the message, and they would feel that drawing power, because it was through that message and through that drawing power that God saved my soul. And He's still doing that today. He's still doing it the same way. That changed.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Maybe I'm not. But I just think, saving my soul is... Words can't express how it is. Be a child of God.
Amen. Amen. Plain as this, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. When the Lord saves us and imputes that righteousness, it's His grace and His righteousness that's imputed into us. He's in charge of it and He's got control of it. The Bible says no man can snatch Him. Nobody snatch me out of the Lord's hands. I couldn't even jump out if I wanted to. There's no doubt that we could do things if it were possible, that we could sin and we could do things that we could lose our salvation. But as long as the Lord's in control, He's in control. He's got us. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Is there something on someone else's heart this morning? I'm going to take my reading lesson this morning out of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. As we've already said this morning, we've came here today in memorial service to remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this memorial or this day has been set aside for us. I believe that every church has the right to do things as they please. I believe that each church is an independent body of Christ, and as it is with this church that we have chosen this day to observe this, and as I've said earlier, I pray that as we think about this morning, you know, we've heard several testimonies this morning of a time and a place. Well, that's remembering our Lord and Savior. When we have a testimony and we thank the Lord for saving our soul, it goes all the way back to that cross, see? It goes all the way back there to where it starts. There on that old cross where Jesus died for the sins of this world, where He shed His blood to pay a sin debt for the sins of this whole world. As we think about these things this morning, we're going to read some verses that's found here. I'm going to skip around just a little bit this morning, so if you're trying to follow me, I want to be looking through a few verses, but I'm going to start reading in Matthew 26, the 17th verse. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now we can look over here, and as I was studying through this week and reading, and it over in the book of Luke, it has a different reading, if you will. It's basically the same thing, but it to get the full picture, if you can look in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, it gives a little bit more detail, I guess you might say. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 8, it says, "And he set Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, I want to turn from there and go back over to Matthew again. And we'll pick up in the 20th verse. And it says, Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Basically, or to say, that you have said it. You know, as we think about some of the things that we have read here, just for a moment before we read any further, I want us to think about what was going on. There was a memorial that was set in place a very, very long time ago when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. This Passover meal was a memorial service that was set in place when the Lord allowed Israel to leave the bondage of Egypt, which they had been in for 400 years. The Lord told the people of Israel to prepare this Passover meal. Now, it was a meal that they were supposed to do in haste. They were supposed to do this. And now, most of us know the story of all the plagues and all the things that went on before this. But this particular night, the death angel would come. And it was brought about that they were to take a lamb, and that they were supposed to take the blood of this lamb, and they were to put it on the post, the side post, and the lintels of the door. And when the death angel passed by that night, that he would see this blood,
and that he would pass on by. But if you lived in a house that did not have the blood from a sacrificed lamb, then the death angel would come in and it would kill the firstborn of the family. And it didn't make any difference, the Bible says. It told animals, livestock, or people. The firstborn died that night. And it was to show the Pharaoh that God was in charge. And up until that point, that he wouldn't let Israel go. But when it happened and his son died, he let the people of Israel go. Now this blood that was shed is a very integral part of what went on. From that point on, I guess in time and in history, they were to have this ceremony, this memorial service once a year. And each and every time that they would do this, they were to, just like in the first time, they were to take a lamb. The Bible says, you can look over in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus and you can read about this. You were to take a lamb. It was a lamb without spot, without blemish. That is to say, that it wasn't one that was sick or lame. It was to be the best that you had. The best lamb out of the flock was the one that was supposed to be sacrificed, that the blood was supposed to be shed. And they would take this blood and they would take it to the priest, and the priest would take the blood of the lamb and he would sprinkle it on the altar for the sins of the people for that year. He would go into the holiest of holies and he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the altar, and it was for a covering for the sins of the people for that year. It went on through time like this until Christ came. Until Christ came. Now the Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews, where we can turn and we can look at a few thoughts out of the book of Hebrews, where it speaks about many of the things, how it was brought about. There's much said in the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapters, and we'll look at just a few of them this morning. And in the 8th chapter, in the 6th and 7th verse, it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For the first covenant, had it been faultless, should have no place been sought for a second." So basically what the Hebrew writer is saying here, in the old covenant or the Old Testament, that blood that was shed, all that blood, all those lambs that were slaughtered, and all that blood that was sprinkled on the altar for the sins of the people, never, ever, once canceled out a sin. It didn't cancel out a sin. And I'm talking about this morning, I want it to make clear, a personal sin. See, we as God's people, we believe in a personal salvation. We don't believe that you can do enough good works or be a good enough person or go to a certain kind of church and be baptized and do this and do that, partake of the Lord's Supper. None of those things we believe will get you to heaven. We believe in repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you seek the Lord, that you repent of your sins, that you trust in Jesus, and you do this, and you pray to Him, and you seek Him until you find Him. Until you find Him. And you make Him your personal Savior. And that personal blood of Christ is applied to your heart. Now these lambs that were slain in the Old Testament, a family would come in and they would bring a lamb and they'd bring it into the high priest and he would take that blood and he would roast that lamb. He would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the altar. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It was a major part that there must be a shedding of blood. You can go all the way back into the book of Genesis and you can find where Adam and Eve, after they had fell out of the sinned against God and was kicked out of the garden, that God came and he slayed an animal and he made a coat of skins to cover their nakedness or to cover their sins. God did that. It's important that we know and understand that as we think about this morning, the just what is meant when we speak about the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was the one, he was the forerunner of Christ, and he was pointing souls to Christ. He was telling them about Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world." As we put all these things together and we think about just exactly what went on. You know, I was reading a book and it was telling about during the time of Christ, and this is just history, so I'm not for sure about its authenticity, but you know, it said during the time of Christ there was around 250,000 lambs that were slain on the day of Passover. 250,000 lambs. That's a lot, isn't it? And all that blood that was up on the altar that would run off and run out into to the Kidron Valley, down the east of the temple, and run into the brook Kidron and turn the brook crimson red. And it would run that way for days. Can you imagine living in a place, living there? And having that thought or that remorse or I guess just that vision of the blood that it took to cover sins as it ran by down the river, run down the road, maybe run down the streets, it was running around where you lived as a constant reminder, as a symbol of the canceling of sins. It had to be a great impact mentally in our thoughts this morning as we think about that. But this morning we're not thinking about those 250,000 lambs. We're here to consider one, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, that when He died on that cross, that it was sufficient for all time and all mankind. That one sacrifice that was made for the whole world. He was that perfect Lamb that was without spot and without blemish. And His blood was the atoning sacrifice that paid the sin debt for the whole world. That is what we're here in remembrance about. As we look at some of these verses here in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says in the seventh verse, but in the second went the high priest every year, but not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, and while while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, and which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make them that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. See, these things couldn't, it says, the Bible says that it could not make those that were doing these things perfect. It couldn't do it. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. But Christ, being become an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or by calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. One time, Jesus Christ entered into the holiest of holies and obtained eternal redemption for all that would believe, for all that would trust. I think there's sometimes that some people think that, you know, that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, so we don't have to do nothing. Jesus died for us. We must be okay. Bible says that Jesus died for us. All we got to do is believe in Him. You know, and I read about it. I think what the Bible said is true, so I believe that. And so I must be okay. But it goes beyond that. Think of all that He went through, that we might trust in Him and believe in Him and love Him. This morning, all the things that He gave His life for. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, "For it is in the 4th verse, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." You can go on down and look a little bit, so I don't read it all, but it says in the 10th, "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering some oft times the same sacrifices which could never take away sins." Never. They did it year after year after year after year, but it never did take away sins. Never, ever did. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God," Jesus Christ. He gave His life for the sins of the world one time. He was that perfect lamb without spot, without blemish, that perfect sacrifice. And it appeased God. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, there had to be somebody to pay the sin debt. There had to be somebody. And that somebody could have only been Jesus Christ. Because all of us were of the inherited, depraved nature of Adam. We were sinners. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was sinless. He was without blame. That's the reason He was that perfect sacrifice that was for us. You think about over in this particular thing. Now there's another aspect of this that I want to look at. We see where we left off reading over here in Matthew about where Judas said, "Is it I?" And Christ said, "Thou sayest." We can look over in the book of John and we can find that here in this 13th chapter and 26th verse, it says, "Jesus answered, He it is to whom I have given a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent that he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." I believe in this teaching here that I wanted to make a point of this morning. Judas was with the 12. He was counted with the 12. But he wasn't a saved man. He was a never a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that when the Lord instituted His supper here at this point in time, we've read about already that the Passover meal that they had taken, but at that point, Judas was present. Now, at the point, there's a point here where Judas left at the end of the Passover meal. This is at the point where the Lord instituted His supper that you were supposed to do in remembrance of me. I believe it's very important for us to know and realize and understand that as we look at this as an ordinance that we can see here given by the Lord's instruction and by the Lord's example that lost people are not supposed to partake of the supper. This is for the church. This is for His church. Now, I know there are many places that observe the Lord's Supper and they allow anyone to partake of the supper. I know there are those that in our Missionary Baptist churches that would allow any sister church of like faith and order to partake of the Lord's Supper with them if they so choose or wanted to. But here at Faith, we believe that it is specifically for this church. I believe that the church is an independent body of Christ, that each and every church is an independent body of Christ. And that when the Lord instituted the supper here, for those apostles or His disciples that were with Him, it was just for them, for the church. It was for that individual church. And I believe that's the way that is to be done today, that we are to observe and to try to do these things is the way the Lord lays them out to the best of our ability. And I know there's times that we make mistakes and we do things wrong, and I pray that the Lord would overlook those things and help us in our errors. But when we think about this morning, I just want us to consider that Jesus died for the sins of this world. His blood was shed. And it's all you got to do is look over here a little bit further in the reading of Matthew, and you can see just the horrible things that happened to Christ. All the things, the humiliation that He went through, and the crown of thorns that was placed upon His head, and them slapping Him and hitting Him with their fists, the nailing of His hands and feet and on the cross of Calvary, the shedding of His blood, the piercing of His side where that blood ran out. All the different aspects. Brothers and sisters, He did that for us. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it personally. And that's the way it feels. I know the Bible says that He died for the sins of the world, but as I have said this morning, salvation is personal. It's a personal thing between you and God. And when it, you know, when the Lord saved me on that old altar, it was personal. He saved me. Nobody else know nothing about it. He come down and He touched me. He touched me. He let me know. It was personal. He died for the sins of the world, but He deals with each person individually. He knows our hearts, He knows our minds, and He deals with us personally. That's the God that created the heavens and the earth, the moon and the stars. He loved us so much that He died on the cross, and then when He comes to for those that believe in Him and trust in Him and repent of their sins, He comes to them personally. He comes to them personally. Thank God this morning for that. For that. As we
consider these things this morning. I pray that
we do these things. The Bible says that as you do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of Jesus for what He did for you personally, for what He did for the world, for the blood that was shed upon the cross, for the pain and the suffering and the afflictions that He went through personally with His body. He endured these things for you and me. As you do this morning, I would ask that, and as I said, but I'll say it again. If you're not a member of Faith Missionary Baptist Church this morning, we sure appreciate you being here today. But we would ask you to stay seated as we observe this as the church. Just the church. Those that have been saved and baptized in the Faith Missionary Baptist Church this morning will be the ones that will be observing this supper today. His word. He tells us that during this remembrance, as we've said, that we are to take of the bread. And that as we break this bread and we pass this out, that we're to remember how our Lord suffered for us. The Bible says of how His body was broken for us. Now, it wasn't a bone that was broken. It's very clear in the book of John that there was not a bone that was broken. But His side was pierced. And His nails were driven into His hands, into His feet. The lashings upon His back from the whipping when He was scourged that cut through the flesh. The humiliation. All the things that the Lord did when He was going through His trial, His mock trial, before they were to take Him and hang Him on the cross. Bible says that before He gave the bread, He blessed it. So if we will, let's bow your hands. Our kind and gracious, most loving and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow humbly, Lord, before You this morning, Lord, we ask Your God for guidance and help, Your Lord, in this service today. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that it would be one, dear Lord, that would be pleasing to You, dear God, that we could bring these things into remembrance, dear Lord, in our hearts and our minds of Jesus this morning, dear God, that as He paid that sin debt for us, Lord, that He loved us so much that He would give His life, dear Lord, on a cross, dear Lord, that He would suffer the cruel punishment and the affliction, dear Lord, upon His life for us. Lord, we thank You, dear God, for that, for sending Your only begotten Son, dear Lord, to us, dear Lord, to die, to pay a sin debt, Lord. For we know, dear God, if it would have been left up to us, there would have been nothing that we could do, Lord. these things through and by this memorial service, dear God, as we have bound here today, that there will be things said and done, dear God, that would have an effect upon them, dear God, that would open their hearts and their minds, dear Lord, the understanding of their soul's condition, dear Lord, that they would seek you this morning, Jesus, dear God, that they might be saved, Lord, we pray. We just give you thanks, Lord, and we pray, Heavenly Father, help us to do this, dear God, in a manner that's pleasing to thee, that you would get all honor and glory, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.
As we said, after he blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. Jesus was Lord and Master, yet he came to be a servant and to serve all mankind. He did that in his day. after he had given them bread, he took the cup. He took the fruit of the vine. And he poured this. And the pouring of this is to symbolize the shedding of his blood on the cross for the sins of man. As we think about that, when we take this cup and we drink that, consider that as we do this, it has no saving merit to it. As we have taken this bread, it has no saving merit to it. This is completely ceremonial and in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. All those that before we do that, we have to bless this. And he took the cup and he blessed the cup before he gave it to him. So we'll bow your hands and bless this. Our kind and gracious, most loving, and merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, it is once again that we bow to our God, bow to our Lord, and thanks for this day that you blessed us with, Lord, for this time that you have given us, dear God, to meet together, dear Lord, and remember, Heavenly Father, those things that you have done for us, dear God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we've looked at these things this morning, Lord, that it will help us, dear God, to better understand, dear Lord, what you did for us, to greatly, dear Lord, better make us love you more, Lord, and want, dear Lord, to serve you more, dear God. As we consider, dear Lord, the blood that was shed, Lord, you being willing. We know, dear Lord, that you told them, dear God, that they could not take your life had it not been the Lord's will. We know, Lord, that you could have sent 12 legions of angels, dear Lord, to stop, dear Lord, everything that was going on that day, dear Lord, had you so wanted to. We know, dear God, that everything you did, it was done in accordance to the Father's will, that it was not your will, Lord. And we thank you, dear God, that you were willing to do these things, Lord. And we just bow, dear God, today and we give you thanks and honor. Pray, oh Lord, help us to do thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all wish you to partake of the cup of the blood of Christ. Stand. That's for Jimmy, brother, for the Lord too. rise and leave out of the church.
We're going to do the first verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing.